All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is a former PFL light heavyweight champion. You can now catch him as the current PFL play-by-play broadcaster, a UFC veteran as well, and very happy to be talking to Sean O'Connell today. How's everything going, readying to get into another PFL season, man?
I'm chomping at the bit, champing at the bit, I guess is the right way to say that. I'm really, really excited about this season four. They keep doing things bigger and better, and I'm very lucky to be part of it.
Yeah, and PFL has had varying degrees of momentum keeping building over the years, but it seemed like that last season in particular was an especial big leap in the grand scheme of things. Like, do you feel that as well? Because I feel like a lot of people are talking about PFL as like the number two domestic player in terms of like MMA promotions in North America now.
Yeah, I think in such a short span, they've done an incredible job of positioning the brand, the organization in a really good spot for, you know, perpetual growth, hopefully, but also, you know, ahead of the curve, so to speak, on where one might expect a league that's only 3 years old, really, to be. We got interrupted like a bunch of people did by the COVID-19 pandemic, and I think that set things back a little bit. But this past season that you're referring to, where you had, you know, some of the best fights we've ever seen, you had great storylines like Bruno Capoloza and Ray Cooper III winning his second championship, Kayla Harrison winning her second championship, you know, Anthony Pettis coming into the season and then being upset, Fabricio Verdum coming into the season and then being upset, Rory McDonald coming into the season and then being upset. I think it really legitimized some of the PFL talent pool and hopefully, you know, built on a nice platform we can continue to expand.
Yeah, and speaking to that point of expansion, it seemed like a few weeks ago on the Instagram you were talking about like PFL UK and PFL Africa. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit more? Because that sounds very exciting.
Yeah, it does sound very exciting. And unfortunately, those decisions are made above my pay grade, but you get the inklings, the rumblings behind the scenes that we may be able to go overseas for a couple of shows this year. And then next year in season five, maybe even a few more. Obviously, everyone has to be mindful scheduling wise right now of the continuing COVID situation. So that may or may not affect some of the plans to do some shows in the UK. I know that they're very seriously considering a show in Africa on the African continent this year. I hope that happens. I've lived there. I have spent some time in Zambia, Botswana, Tanzania, Namibia. I love the African people. I love the African continent. And it would be huge for the PFL to get over there and establish a domestic audience there. So I'm hoping it happens. But one thing that I applaud the PFL for is always making sure that the efficient choice is the one that's made and the safe choice is the one that's made. So everybody knock on wood, do what you can to slow this pandemic down or get rid of it altogether. And hopefully we can all enjoy things like trips to the UK and Africa.
Yeah, hopefully I didn't jinx anything there. I don't need that on my conscience.
It won't be your fault.
But a lot of cool stuff going for sure. And to that point, I also thought the PFL Challenger Series was cool, just providing an opportunity for like newer fighters to like carve out that name and then garner like a PFL contract thereafter and to like get in the season sort of structure there. So I think the fact that there's that tiered kind of system now really also illustrates the growth of the company too.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Obviously, we've seen some other organizations do similar things where, look, you need a farm system, right? Pro baseball has their AAA, AA, single A farm system. The basketball situation where, you know, EuroLeague feeds into the NBA now, and the NBA has its own developmental league called the G League, right? The NFL uses college football as a developmental league, which is its own conversation. But if you're going to continue to grow a sport, you've got to foster and develop talent on the lower levels. And it's not as sexy of an endeavor, and it's not as exciting for the casual fan. But people seem to forget that every superstar fighter that you know came from a place where nobody knew their name. Whether it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, everybody started in a spot where nobody knew who they were. Nobody was excited about watching them fight. They probably didn't have a platform like we're going to have on Fubo TV and on ESPN. And everyone starts somewhere. So I'm glad that the sport has done a better job of not only fostering that developing talent, but giving it a platform so you can grow an audience and grow a fan base a little bit sooner.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious, like, are you also going to be doing broadcast duties on the Challenger Series cards there, or is there going to be a bit of a different broadcast team for that?
No, I wanted to be involved in that. In future seasons, who knows what the plan will be, but while we're still a young league and we're still fostering kind of our own growing audience, I wanted to be as involved as I could be, so thankfully the PFL was very gracious in accommodating that request, and it'll be myself and Kenny Florian on the broadcast for the Challenger Series, and we're going to have some help from Fubo's own staff and some celebrity judges, so to speak. They won't be the official judges, but some celebrity voices, familiar faces to the fight game and to the sports game, kind of weighing in on who they thought had the best performances and who they thought maybe deserves a shot at a PFL season. And yeah, it's going to be kind of a fun little different reality take on scouting talent in MMA.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear. An awesome broadcast team for sure. And I think a lot of people have been talking about your transition into broadcasting and talking about it in a very favorable way, for good reason, for sure. I mean, a bit of an anomaly in a lot of regards, because I feel like the normative transition is for fighters to do like color commentary more so, but just really killing it in the play-by-play role and doing a bit of research. It seems like you've had a fair bit of, you know, experience as like a radio talent and stuff like that. Like, how much of the, I guess, radio experience led to that like more fluid transition into play-by-play, if at all?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that. We try to do a very good job. I've tried very hard to make sure that I'm not bringing the broadcast down, so to speak, as the play-by-play man. But I think that my radio experience helped immensely. Obviously, my day job is the spoken word and is sharing my thoughts and, you know, kind of having discussions about sports talk, reacting on the fly to breaking news, things like that. I have had some pretty limited experience on the more traditional sports front, doing some play-by-play and color analyst work, and I really love it. And I figured, you know, in the world of mixed martial arts, guys like me, and I think it's totally justified, I'm not mad about this, I don't complain about this, but when I was in the UFC, I would ask them for these opportunities, right? Like, hey, put me on an analyst desk, or let me do some color analyst work on a broadcast. And justifiably, I think they were like, what are you talking about, man? You don't even have a winning record in the UFC. We're not gonna make you the face of anything. No one cares what you have to say about this. And I realized that if I was ever going to make a transition into broadcasting the sport that I love so much, I probably needed to do it as a play-by-play man, because no one is ever going to call for Sean O'Connell to be the analyst instead of Randy Couture, or instead of Anthony Pettis, or instead of Kenny Florian, right? There's guys who've had longer, more sustainable, high-level success that have been, you know, bigger personalities, whatever, and those are the individuals that are going to get the analyst jobs. It's like that in every single sport. When you watch football or basketball, the color analysts are people who are Hall of Famers. They're people who are coaches who also played. They're people who are just like firmly, deeply established as you know, thought leaders and as minds and as voices in the sport. And I realized that if I was going to find a niche, that play-by-play was probably the best place to do it. And because I had a broadcasting background, I figured the transition would be a lot easier for me. And I think that we've proven that out. Obviously, the PFL went out on a limb to give me the opportunity. And I think I've made good on that. I think we do a really good job, and we're getting even better. So it's worked out nicely for everyone.
Well, I would think you'd be able to provide a lot of like intimate, localized insights into like what the various PFL fighters are going through throughout the season in their pursuit of capturing that $1 million, just because you've won one of the previous seasons, captured the million, etc. So I feel like on a localized, like along with the journey, offer the fighter perspective kind of level. I mean, I guess that's more encroaching into the color commentary spot, but just illustrating that it seems like a seamless kind of fit.
Yeah, I hope that's how it comes across. And, you know, the job of the broadcast team is to be storytellers or to enhance the story that you're already watching unfold. And one thing in MMA, there's not really a very solid delineation in live action between who's supposed to be calling the action and who's supposed to be commenting on what's going on. You know, even the best broadcast teams, when a knockout happens, there's three people yelling at you, right? It's like, oh my goodness, what's happening? And that just doesn't occur in other sports. And maybe that's why people like MMA broadcasts and boxing broadcasts, because there's, you know, that line gets blurred a little bit. But I appreciate that, me being a former fighter, having been through a PFL season, and working alongside people like Randy Couture and Kenny Florian and Eve Edwards before them, and Boz Rutten before that even, that allows you to just really tell a story from multiple perspectives. And if I can step out of the play-by-play role for 10 or 15 or 30 seconds and be more of an analyst on that, I think it's okay, as long as I don't get wild, right? I need to talk less on broadcast probably, but it is good to have that knowledge and to know what questions I need to set the guys up with and things like that.
And just reflecting on the anniversary of the PFL title win a few weeks ago on the Instagram there and everything like that, just how it almost feels like it's like longer ago than it actually was and stuff like that. Does that memory have like a compounding sense of almost enjoyment, just being able to look back on it as the years kind of go along? I imagine that was a huge night for you.
It was a huge night for me. That was 3 years ago now, which is crazy. In some respects, it doesn't feel like it should be that long ago. And in other respects, it feels like it's even longer. My life has changed very drastically. When I fought that fight, I had no children. Now I have two children, right? I've bought a house since then. I've gotten new jobs since then. A lot of things have happened. I've obviously taken on the main play-by-play role for the PFL, which is my favorite thing that I do professionally right now. So a lot has happened since then, and it makes it feel a little bit further away than it even was. But it's great to look back on it, and as I see more and more of people, you know, retiring and then coming back and thinking about coming back, or they retire from mixed martial arts and end up in bare-knuckle boxing or whatever else, I'm very pleased with the way that my story ended. If I could go back and I could change some early chapters and even like my tenure in the UFC, I absolutely would. There were things that I would do differently. But when it comes to the PFL and that last chapter of my career, I'm still very, very happy with the way that it played out, and I wouldn't do a thing differently.
Well, it sounds like the competitive comeback isn't an option, but could we see a comeback of that PFL champ beard? It seemed like you had a pretty good chin garden going there.
That might happen. My wife is always campaigning for that, but it gets grayer and grayer every time I let it grow. So I don't know how well that will play on television. And I think I'll get into, you know, now I'm broadcasting alongside Kenny Florian, and he's very involved in like the competitive jiu-jitsu space, right? I got to at least get into a grappling tournament or something, because I'm riding full-blown dad bod right now, and I need a good excuse to get back into shape. So competition is probably the only thing that'll truly motivate me to do so, but it won't be MMA, that's for sure. I'm unless someone comes with a check like the one I got on that last PFL bout, I'm not going to be jumping back in there anytime soon.
But you talk about some of the earlier chapters in the story, how you might have wanted to write it differently. I actually didn't even know until doing my research today that you've written a few books at this point. Like, can you kind of talk about that as a creative outlet, and also, I guess, as an extension of that, are there any new books that you're working on presently or anything?
Yeah, I try to do a major writing project every year. That's one of the goals that I write for myself, and I've expanded some of my own interests into maybe trying some screenwriting and things like that. The big project right now is a sequel to the first book that I ever wrote. I've been promising people this even though there's only about 10 people who care. I've been promising them that for like 7 or 8 years now, and I need to actually get it done. So finally making some good progress on it. But it's just something that, you know, goes all the way back to my childhood. In my family, books were kind of like the glue. Everyone in my family was encouraged to read. My parents were big time readers. They didn't spoil us with any toys. They didn't spoil us with fancy things, but they would spoil us with books. Anytime I wanted a book, I could have a book. I was never told no when it came to reading. So I just decided I wanted to try writing. And I don't know if I'm any good at it, but I really enjoy it, even though it's arduous and it's slow. Reading a book takes a couple of days. Writing a book takes a couple of years. But it's just it's very gratifying experience when you feel like you've gotten it right and you've put a story that came from nowhere except your own brain onto paper. There's just something kind of special about it, and I'm sure that folks who are in music and folks who are in, you know, the more traditional visual arts or sculpting or whatever, I'm sure they understand what I'm talking about. But there's just something pretty cool about knowing that you created something. You didn't really rely on anyone else to make it happen. And even though it's slow, I like doing it.
And it seems like they're all delving into different subject matter too, which I imagine is creatively stimulating in like a more multifaceted kind of way. Like check off a few boxes, it seems like.
Yeah, it allows you to, research and branch out into different areas and just entertain whims that maybe, I'm one of these guys that, you go back and you look at your life and like, man, should I have served in the military? Like, at least gives you a little bit of a connection to something like that. If you research for a story and maybe you do a couple interviews to try and get closer to that subject matter. For me, I think that probably confirms that I never should have served in the military. But in any case, it's just cool to be able to dive into different parts of the world. And if you feel like it, right, I haven't done this yet, but I do write fiction, so like at some point I could just make up my own world and make up all the rules for that. There's very few other places in life that you're allowed to do that, and I'm just, yeah, the literary world, if I could actually make money at it, I could, you know, develop my talent or lack thereof to being, you know, bestseller quality and become a commercial author that could have some success and support my family that way, I absolutely would do it. In fact, if I could just write books during the day and call fights at night, that would be like the ultimate existence for me. But we're not there yet on the writing front. The broadcasting side is working out, but on the writing front, we're far from it.
Yeah, for sure. Very much prominent on the broadcasting front, for sure. And it seems like you're in that broadcaster point, too, where you're developing that rapport with the different fighters and stuff like that. Like, it seems like you and Kayla Harrison have, like, a bit of a, like, a Hulk Hogan, Mean Gene Okerlund kind of vibe going, almost.
Man, I can't live up to Mean Gene. And look, Kayla's every bit of Hulk Hogan. She's so fascinating. She's one of the most impressive athletes I've ever been around, and I played football with guys who are NFL Hall of Famers and all that kind of stuff. Like, she's a really, really impressive individual, so I enjoy our little back and forth. She makes me feel like an idiot every time I ask her a question, which is kind of fun at this point, but I hope that, you know, she and I get to work alongside each other one way or another for years to come.
Yeah, and I feel like just there's so much to look forward to with this upcoming PFL season. So this is like a very, very broad stroke kind of, you know, question in a lot of regards. So feel free to go whichever way with it. But is there any particular aspect of this looming 2022 season where when you think about it, you're like especially excited? Like, oh, I love to see what like Ray Cooper III is going to get up to, or what happens with, you know, this division, that division, etc.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see Ray's continuation. I think that Ray Cooper is the top five welterweight in the world. I know that the PFL and Ray Sefo have tried very hard to bring in talent that allows Ray to test himself on that level. I'm super impressed with his punching power, obviously his wrestling ability, the way that he's developed his skill set and his mindset to where he'll fight the smart fight for a round or two when he needs to, and then he can flip that switch and become just an absolute monster of a puncher when he when he needs to get a finish. I'm just so impressed with that guy. And, you know, he's been in every PFL championship so far. He lost the championship in season one. He won it in season two and season three. What's going to happen in season four? Does he stay as hungry? Does he continue to develop? People might not realize this. Ray, he's 30 years old. He's not even 30 years old. Like, there's so much ahead of him in his career. He's been fighting for a long time because that's what his family does. He came up, you know, his dad was a fighter. All of his brothers are fighters. So I'm really excited to see what his career is going to be about. I think he's only about halfway through it. Obviously, Kayla is a major story in the sport. And if she's back inside the PFL smart cage, can anyone test her? I think she's the most dominant champion that we've had. I think she's the most dominant, you know, athlete in the sport right now relative to her competition. So can anybody test her? And then the heavyweight division is going to be really fascinating. Bruno Capoloza has really found himself as a heavyweight. Dude's built like an NFL linebacker. I can't believe he ever even tried to cut to 205. Yeah. I think that was silly. He's got speed and power for days as a heavyweight. But Heyna Fajeda is a 6'8" monster. If he had been born somewhere besides Brazil, he'd be an NFL tight end or an NBA power forward. He's an elite athlete with some real skill. And he's looking to bounce back off the controversy with Fabricio Werdum and all that mess. So I think the heavyweight division is going to be fascinating for us as well. But I could go on and on.
Oh, I mean, just all day, yeah. There's so many different examples, even outside of the season structure. Like if Claressa Shields were to have another MMA fight this calendar year, just so much to talk about for sure. Great time to be a PFL fan, seems like.
Yeah, it really is. And it's one of those things where, like, you're kind of getting in on the ground floor, so to speak, if you're watching the PFL right now, because the league is going to continue to grow. The talent pool is going to continue to expand. Who knows? Maybe that $1 million prize money even gets bigger. We're hopefully going to be branching out to some of those different locales that you were talking about. Hopefully we can take this thing international. If you look at just some of the people who are being brought in for the Challenger Series, just for an opportunity to fight in a PFL regular season. We've got, you know, Brazilians, Israelis, a fighter coming in from Bosnia, Herzegovina. You've got Sudanese folks. Like, we are really trying to farm the entire globe in order to meet the need for exciting talent. And all of that is, again, only four seasons in to this endeavor. So what's the PFL going to look like when we're in year 10? I can't wait to watch.
Oh yeah. I mean, the ceiling is just so high. It's really a cool structure to follow along with. And yeah, really looking forward to getting into the bulk of the year and stuff like that. But I also want to be mindful of your time and schedule here, Sean. So is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping things up here, man?
No, just tune in. We're going to be on Fubo TV for the Challenger Series starting February 18th. And for, what is it, 8 consecutive Fridays. We just go every Friday night, and there will be a contract awarded on every single one of those Challenger Series events. Some of them are going to be Claressa Shields-type developmental contracts, and some are going to be invitations to jump directly in to the PFL regular season, which means that there are unknown fighters to you as a fan right now, right? Who, if things break the correct way for them, could in the space of one calendar year fight, impress the bosses, get a Challenger Series invitation to the PFL regular season, and fight their way to $1 million. Going from the regional scene to a $1 million major mixed martial arts championship, that can only happen in one place, and it's in the PFL. So start watching on Fubo TV on February 18th. And then, of course, in April, I think the 20th is our first regular season event. We'll be on the ESPN family of networks, on ESPN+, on ESPN, on ESPN2. I promise you the product is getting better and better every single year, so jump on early.
Yeah, great way to put it, and really see that consistent refinement from my viewership and everything like that. And if anybody hasn't checked PFL out for whatever reason, like Sean O'Connell said, great time to do it. And when they do so, they can catch Sean O'Connell in the play-by-play position. So yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate all the great insights you gave, and just hopefully you have a good rest of your day too, man.
Yeah, enjoy your day. Hopefully we'll talk to you sometime during the season, and thanks for your support.
I'm sure I'll be frequenting the media calls asking if Kayla Harrison wants to join AEW by the end of the year or something to that effect. So look forward to it.
Hey, look, let her focus on PFL. She's got years and years and years to be in that wrestling business.
Yeah, totally true. But yeah, again, to reiterate, thanks so much for the time, man. And yeah, looking forward to hopping on that first big PFL media call there.
Cool. All right. Be well.